Ta thali tu fungue a Biblia zetu injili yamako na melango tano. Mark chapter 5. And this week we have reached verse 21. And we're studying Mark chapter 5, verse 21 up to 43. In these verses, we're back in Galilee. The people of Gadara, after they'd seen what Jesus had done, they asked him to leave. What a terrible thing. But Jesus did leave and comes back over the lake back into Israel and into Galilee again. Now, in this section, Mark tells us about two people and two miracles. And perhaps you know what a sandwich is. You have your two pieces of bread, and then you have something in the middle of the piece of bread. Well, Mark gives us something of a sandwich here. He tells us about a man called Jairus and how his daughter was healed. But then, in the middle, comes a woman who is healed from a disease she'd had for 12 years. And then we go back to Jairus again. Mark tells us about these two things together, because when we look at them together, we can learn some more truth, some more precious truth about the Lord Jesus, and about who he saves, what kind of people does he save, and about how he saves them. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to learn about these people. Our first point, our first thing is to ask the question, who does Jesus save? What kind of people does Jesus save? And our answer is that Jesus saves all kinds of people. So first, in verse 22, let's meet Jairus, this man Jairus. Jairus is the ruler of one of the synagogues. You remember that Jesus had been rejected in the synagogues, and the religious leaders had turned away from him. But not everybody of that kind had rejected Jesus. And there's this man, Jairus, who now comes to him. So he's somebody who'd be known in the community. He's a respected leader, and people know who he is. And he's a man, and the men in that culture were given a higher respect. And he came publicly, and he came openly to Jesus. So look at verse 22. He fell at his feet, and he pleaded with him. So here's Jairus, a respected, known leader in the community. But then, if you come to verse 25, you will meet this woman. This woman, it says, had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. Some kind of bleeding inside her. And being a woman, she has a lower status in the culture. But more than that, because of her bleeding, she actually has the status of being unclean. The laws of Moses in the Old Testament explained that if you had continuing bleeding, you were unclean. You could not be part of the ceremonies and all the rituals of the people of Israel. And you had to stay away. And what is more, if you touched a person, they became unclean as well. And so you could not really go out. You could not go out and meet others. Even your family, should they touch you, would become unclean. And they would then have to go through the things to be done to become clean again. Mark does not tell us this woman's name. Perhaps that's part of his story to us, that she's unimportant. She's not known. She's not a person you would notice. The woman, she cannot come like Jairus openly and publicly, because she's unclean for one thing, but she comes secretly. Verse 27, she just comes up behind him to touch him. Verse 28, she thinks, if I can just touch him, But oh, can she come openly and say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Here's my illness. No, she can't. Which of these two is the most important person? If you could be a friend of one of these two people, which would you choose? Who would be the one you would want? Well, actually, it makes no difference to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he loved them both the same. Look at verse 24. Jairus came and asked help from Jesus, and it says Jesus went with him. Verse 29, it tells us when the woman came to Jesus, immediately her bleeding was stopped. Straight away her suffering was over. Both the same. They both got what they wanted from Jesus. Immediately, Jesus is pleased to save all kinds of people. In the Bible, we can meet with kings who are saved. And we can meet with poor fishermen who are saved. We can meet men and women and children who are saved. It makes no difference with God. Because before God, all are great sinners. Every person is the same before God, carrying awful sin with them before him. And all need saving. All need mercy. All need Jesus to shed his precious blood on the cross. None can go to heaven unless Jesus died and rose for them. Great people are often great sinners. Small people can't commit sometimes the great sins that great people commit. You know, we read in the paper that this or that person has stolen 10 million shillings. And we think, wow, 10 million shillings. Great people are often great sinners. But whoever we are, we have many sins before God. And whoever you are, you can come to Jesus. Don't let the poor people say, oh, who am I? I'm a nobody. Now, how can the Son of God care about me? How can God have any time for me? Not even the people I live with have time for me. How can God care for me? No, don't say that. God is full of mercy to all who call upon him, the Bible says. See the kindness of Jesus. This lady, she was healed straight away when she came. I wonder, if Jairus had said, Lord, my daughter is dying. Just speak the word now, Lord. What would Jesus have done? Well, we know. He would have healed her right then. Somebody came to Jesus like that a little later. But actually, Jairus just said, come with me and heal her. Jairus seemed to think Jesus had to come and lay his hands and touch her. But the woman, she thought, oh, if I just come into contact with Jesus, I can be healed. And Jesus healed her according to her faith. So, see the willingness of the Lord Jesus to forgive the sins of everybody who comes to him. And he can forgive the sins of anyone, because he took your sins on the cross. If you believe in him, whoever you are, we can say to you, if you trust in the Lord Jesus, then Jesus died for you. And let not those who are more well off, and let not those who are richer and higher, let them not be proud. Let them not say, oh, God is more sure to receive me. No, God will be much happier to receive me. I'm more welcome to come to God, because it's not true. Your sins are often greater sins. God has given you more opportunity to serve him, and you've sinned with more blessing from God. Oh, let not the rich be proud, but let them all come the same way, repenting, asking Jesus to forgive them. So we who are in the church, we must do the same as Jesus. Okay. Somebody comes in from the back, and we look around. We shouldn't if there's somebody preaching, but heads look around, and oh, what kind of clothes? Oh, and they get a mobile phone out of their pocket. What kind of mobile phone is that? No. Is their hair done well? I wonder if that was expensive. What kind of person is this? You know, do they look important? Do I need to show them to a good seat? Or shall I just leave them to find their own place somewhere? We mustn't be like that in the church. God hates that kind of thinking, because Jesus came to die for all kinds of people. There must be no favourites in the church based upon the things of the world. We have some friends, one of who's a pastor in another place in Nyanza, and for some reason a politician was invited to their church. They invited lots of people for some special service. But they had the service just the same. There was prayer, there was hymns, there was reading of the Word of God, and there was preaching of the Word of God, and there was no politics. And afterwards, the politician said to the pastor, "You know, what normally happens when I come to a church is that they change the service for me, and they hand it over to the politicians so that we can speak our message and what we want to be known about the politics today. But you didn't do that." And actually, I think that's good, because the services ought to be for the worship of God and not for the politics. That's how it should be. In the kingdom of God, the things of the world don't matter. The question is not, what do you wear? You know, who are you? How are you educated? It's, are you godly? Are you walking closely with the Lord? Are you obeying his commandments? Are you trying to be a light in your place? So, as you look around the church for your friends, don't say, "Ah, he's like me, because he's rich like I'm rich." Or don't say, "Oh, I can be friend with that one, because they're poor like I'm poor." No, Jesus is opposed to that way of thinking. Look around the church and look to have fellowship with your brothers and sisters who love the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever they are in this world. And then we will be a family of God. We will be following God and his ways. Jesus saves all kinds of people. Now, our second point. How does Jesus save people? Jesus saves people through faith. Why did Jairus receive what he wanted? It's because he came to Jesus and he asked. Why did Jesus have pity on the woman? Was it because she was poor and so he had more pity on her? No, it's because they came with faith. They came trusting. If Jairus had remained at home, his daughter would have died. The woman, if you look at verse 25, she'd had bleeding for 12 years. She was healed and the very moment she came to Jesus. Well, Jesus had been ministering only for a short time so far. If she'd come the day before, she would have been healed the day before. If she'd come the month before, she'd have been healed the month before. But on the day when faith acted, when faith got up and went to Jesus, at that very moment, she was healed. But what really is faith? What kind of faith? Well, the first thing I've already said, faith has to act. Faith has to get up and go to Jesus. Now, I didn't say get up and go to the pastor or get up and go to the front of the church or stand up in your chair and put your hand up. No, faith is when your heart moves out to Jesus. Your heart moves out to embrace him as the Son of God and the one who can have mercy upon you. That's faith. It goes out to Jesus. But faith will often be greatly tested. Jairus' faith, think of how this was tested. They're going to his daughter where she is. Verse 23, "My little daughter is dying." You know, the end is coming. She's not just sick, but we know that the end is nearly here. "So please come." He pleads earnestly, verse 23. But whilst they're going, what happens? Well, there's a delay. There's this woman who comes and touches Jesus. And verse 30, Jesus knows what has happened. And he says, "Who touched my clothes?" And then there's talk with the disciples. Oh, you know, there's a big crowd here. Lots of people touched you. But Jesus keeps looking and looking until the woman comes. And then he speaks to the woman. Now think, you're Jairus. Your daughter is about to die. And there's this waiting. What is Jesus doing? What is he going to use up the time? Is she going to die? In verse 35, people come from his house. Your daughter is dead. You shouldn't trouble this teacher any longer. Oh, it's too late. She's even now dead. Jesus has been defeated. He said he would come with you, but it's too late now. He hasn't been able to make it. But now look at verse 36. Jesus ignores what they say. Don't be afraid. Just believe. How can you believe? They've told you that she's dead. Don't they know what a dead person looks like? They come to the house, and all the mourners are already there. Verse 38, crying and wailing. And Matthew tells us they had musical instruments too, because the preparations for the funeral have begun. They begin straight away with the mourners who come. And when Jesus says that the child is only in a kind of sleep, verse 40, they laugh at him. They mock. They scoff. They know what a dead person looks like. Some of these are perhaps hired mourners. You get that in the East sometimes. They know when a person's dead, and so they laugh. What a test of Jairus' faith. The news has come, and they're already beginning to get ready to bury her. But Jesus says, don't be afraid, just believe. His faith is greatly tested. What's he going to do? Is he going to look at the problems? Or is he going to look at Jesus? Is he going to listen to the people who are laughing at him? Or is he going to listen to the Son of God who says, she's only sleeping. I will bring her back. She's just there for a time. I will bring her back. What's he going to do? It's a test. And this woman, her faith was greatly tested too. It was very hard for her to approach the Lord Jesus. She was an unclean person. If people saw her and knew her, they might try to chase her away. And he might be offended. What will he say if I go and touch him? For 12 years she's been going to all these doctors, verse 25 and 26. And all her money she's paid to try to get better. But she hasn't got better. She's got worse. Is there any hope? Surely it's too hard. Surely she can't be healed. And surely for 12 years she's been praying to God. Please bless this doctor, the treatment he's giving. Please, Lord, you know I've got little money and it's running out. Please make this treatment a success for me, Lord. And for 12 years, God has seemed to be silent and not answered her prayers. So is God going to bless her now when she comes to Jesus? Great trial for her faith. And yet she comes. And she makes her way through the crowd and she goes to touch him. Your faith will be tested. If you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, expect those tests. It's through the tests that your faith grows stronger. Through the tests that your faith is shown to be real when your faith overcomes. Okay. The runners that we have all around here in the Rift Valley, how do they grow stronger? How do they get the strength to become champions? Oh, they keep putting it to the test. They keep running, and they keep running. Day after day, they're training, and then they're growing stronger. We must be ready for people to laugh at us. We must be ready to be mocked. And people say that you're taking your Christianity too seriously. Saying that trusting in God is a waste of time. And that you need to find some other way. Your faith will be tested, but keep on trusting. These two were two with no hope at all, but they trusted Jesus. Jairus, his daughter, had died. This woman, she'd spent all her money on the doctors. that Jesus can save the worst of sinners. Whatever your case, whatever you've done, whatever your sins, my great privilege as a preacher to tell you that Jesus can forgive you. Jesus is the one who raises the dead. He defeated death himself. He died on the cross and then he rose. Not even death can separate you from the love of Jesus if you put your faith in him. But what's stopping you? Why have you not yet come to Jesus? You think he can't forgive your sins? He can. He paid the whole price when he died on the cross. Nothing more is needed. Do you have faith? Then Jesus has power. That was all that was needed for these two. They had faith and Jesus had the ability. We've seen him now in Mark. He teaches with authority. He commands the demons and evil spirits. He has power over sickness. He speaks to the wind and the waves and they obey him. And now he even raises the dead. Jesus is over all. You can trust him. You can trust him even through death and into eternity. If these two had given up, all would have been lost. If the woman had said, oh, the crowd's too big. If Jairus had said, my daughter's dead now, it's too late. They would have lost the blessing. Keep going through everything. Even death is only asleep with Jesus. That's why the New Testament, it often describes death as sleep. And Paul says to one church in a place called Thessalonica, he says, you don't need to be too sad about those who are asleep. Malalala. It's only sleep for a Christian. Because when Jesus speaks, when Jesus says, I say to you, arise, you'll come back out of your grave. Your body will return to your soul. And you'll live in the new heavens and the new earth, which Jesus has for you. Death is only asleep with Jesus. You know, if you're not too far from Eldoret, you can't really ever get lost, can you? You just look into Eldoret and you can see KVDA Plaza. Or you see the National Bank building. And even if you're a few miles away, you don't have to say, where am I? You can see the building and you can head towards it. Now, as a Christian, it's just like that. Well, wherever you are, you fix your eyes upon Jesus and head towards him. You can never be lost. Jesus saves people through faith. Thirdly, and finally, how does Jesus deal with his people? How does Jesus deal with them? Well, we see that Jesus knows all his people. He knows them all perfectly. He knows them all very well. What did this woman want to do? She wanted to remain hidden, to remain secret. As soon as she touched him, that power healed her. Verse 29. It's an immediate healing. She knows that it's all gone. All sickness has gone from her body. So she's not unclean anymore. She can now move amongst people and touch people. But what does she do? She tries to hide because she's afraid. Verse 33. When she's found, she's trembling with fear. So she wants to remain hidden. But Jesus would not allow her to remain hidden. He asks for her, who touched me? Who could touch my clothes? And he won't stop looking until she's come forward. Jesus won't allow her to remain a secret believer. When you light a lamp in your house in the evening, do you then hide it under the chair? Or you put some clothes on top of it? No, you put it on the table in the middle of where you're sitting. Or you hang it up from the roof so that light can come to the whole house. If Jesus has given us blessing, Jesus has given us the light of his truth, it's not so that it can be hidden. It's so that it can give light in our houses, light in our work, light in our communities. Jesus doesn't want believers to remain hidden. So he commands her to come forward. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? And are you keeping it hidden? Is it a secret? Do only one or two know? Well, that's not Jesus' way. He wants you to come forward. And you can see and you can be encouraged to see what happens when this woman when this woman came forward. Verse 34. What's the first word? Daughter. A comforting word, a gentle word. Don't be afraid, he's saying. And he says, go in peace. Your faith has healed you. He brings her forward so that he can reassure her, so she doesn't live in fear. So that she understands that it's by faith that the blessing comes. So that she knows what to keep doing in future. So that she knows there is peace with God and does not have doubts. So she knows it really was Jesus. That it wasn't just that this happened to be some kind of luck. Something that just happened on that day and would have happened in another place. No, she must know it was Jesus. So Jesus brings her out to give her more blessing and to comfort her. And when we're saved, God wants to place us together in a church where there's a family, where pastors can watch for you, where you can be taught, and where you can grow and understand what you ought to do as a believer. We're Christians are not meant to just be on their own. They're meant to join together with the people of God. But with Jairus, something slightly different happens. Well, everybody knows that Jairus has faith because he came to Jesus in public. Everybody knows because they went back together to his house and the girl was healed. But Jesus does not want some kind of riot. He doesn't want chaos and disorder and noise. This is the first resurrection, the first raising of a dead person. And what a great noise it could cause and what chaos it could cause if people just get excited by this miracle. Often there are people who just get excited, but they have very little understanding. We have these crusades, don't we, where people come to and there's a lot of noise. And people can get very excited, but they go away with very little understanding. That's not what God wants. And so what he actually says, verse 43, to Jairus, is to keep it quiet. Now the time, of course, came when Jairus told people, because we have it here in the Gospel. Perhaps it came from Peter, who was there. And Peter knew that the time would come to speak. But not now to just excite everybody and make it so that Jesus was so crowded and so busy that he could not do his work. Let the people believe that she was asleep. When Jesus said she's asleep, of course he meant that he had the power to bring her back from death. But let them think she wasn't really dead. If they're scoffers and mockers, they're not serious spiritual people, there's no point in stirring them up into noise. There are some people, when they become Christians, they seem to go mad. Their homes and their work just become places of chaos. They stop doing their work because they're just evangelizing all the time. And they're still being paid for work, but they're turning their work into some sort of crusade instead of doing what they're being paid with somebody else's money to do. And they become what we call fanatics. That's not what God wants. But with patience and quietly, with discipline, little by little, we will serve God wherever he has put us. We're not trying to tear down our homes and make them place of chaos, but to serve God in them. And so that seems to be why Jesus commanded Jairus the way he did. So he deals with his people in different ways. He knows you. He knows where you are. He knows your situation. And he knows what you need. Seek his will. Study the scriptures. Seek to find what he wishes you to do now. And then do it. Might be different to what he wants for another Christian. But he deals with us all differently. So Jairus, his daughter, and this unnamed woman. Mark puts them together. He puts them together to show us Jesus saving all kinds of people. freely, graciously, loving them all the same. Saving them, though, through faith, because they trusted him. Do you have faith? And now is Jesus dealing with you? He knows just how to deal with you. He knows how to bring you safely to heaven. So carry on trusting him, whatever comes your way. Amen.